Hello, this is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin, and this is a short addendum to the Kurzweil podcast to correct a few mistakes I made and to give you some additional information. It would appear that I got so carried away while playing the keyboard that I forgot to tell you some of the things I told you I was going to tell you. So, here they are. I said that there were four groups of buttons above the keyboard I would talk about. The first group was the group of volume controls that allowed you to mix your sounds together. The second group was that group of eight buttons in a two-across, four-down arrangement. I neglected to tell you what the top right button in that section did. That is the MIDI mode button, which allows you to go into MIDI mode and set up all kinds of parameters, and although that was far afield from our discussion of the Kurzweil, I certainly could have told you what the button did. Well, now you know. Sorry about that. And then we talked about the third group of buttons, those under the display, the buttons that took you to all kinds of menus. Actually, there's an edit button and a page up and down button just to the left of the display. The fourth group of buttons is to the right of the display, starting with a cross of arrow keys up, down, left, and right. These are arrow keys that one uses in the menus or when one is recording tracks, etc. There's also an exit button under those arrow keys. To the right of that is a wheel that's click-stopped so that one can turn it and hear a click, and each time it clicks, you go to a different program or a different menu item. Again, it's something that can be used to arrow through or go back and forward through certain menus, programs, or sounds on the keyboard, etc. Below this wheel are two right and left arrow keys, which again can be used to do exactly the same thing the wheel does, although you can hold these down and they go through much more quickly. So you can use these keys to go through menu items, to go through tracks, to go through sounds on the Kurzweil, etc. And to the right of all this is a number pad, which is another way of doing exactly the same sorts of things. You can key in a program or sound on the Kurzweil. You can key in a particular menu item. You can key in a particular file number on the hard drive and use the return key underneath the number pad to enter. And to the left of the return key is the cancel key. Now, there is one more correction to the podcast I need to make. I said that when saving a file I was tracking, I pressed the third button from the left under the display. Well, normally I know my right from my left, but I guess that day I didn't. It so happens that it's the third key from the right under the display. I guess I was a bit too busy playing the music. Oh well, what can I say? Now, the other thing I didn't cover, but can certainly hear in a short discussion, are the plugs on the back of the keyboard. Starting at the left-hand rear of the keyboard as you're facing the front of it, in other words, you're reaching over the top of it toward the back of it, on the left there is a headphone jack, followed by two quarter-inch phone jacks, one left channel and one right channel. And then there are eight more quarter-inch plugs, each of which corresponding to one of the volumes in the mixing section of the Kurzweil, so that if you had an analog mixer, you could actually route each of those channels out to a different channel on your mixer. Now, I think the 2600 Kurzweil, which is a newer model than the one I have, substitutes digital outputs for analog. But at least on mine, they are analog. You then get to a section of the keyboard, still on the back, where there are digital inputs and outputs. There are both optical inputs and outputs and professional AES-EBU digital outputs. There are also analog inputs and outputs. Of course, this is what you use if you want to record something on the keyboard that you've sampled. And there are modes in the sampling menu which allow these inputs to be turned on. And you can then record the samples you're making into the keyboard, or you can simply play something through the keyboard and play along with it if you want. To the right of these plugs are serial ports, where you can plug in a CD drive to load files from CD, an external hard drive, or a SCSI drive, etc. And lastly, to the right of these are the pedal inputs. These are 4/4-inch inputs into which you can plug foot pedals of various kinds that do various things. Obviously, the sustaining pedal goes in one. You could plug in a pedal that looks like a sustaining pedal, and yet you could set it up to be used to punch into record when you are tracking recordings. There's also available a volume control pedal, which moves up and down and allows you to either control the volume or to control the wheel that we talked about earlier, so you don't have to reach with one hand off the keyboard and turn it manually. And then at the right-hand end of the keyboard is the receptacle for the power cord and the switch to turn the keyboard off and on. So now you have a little bit more information about the Kurzweil, including the information I forgot to give you on the original podcast. Thanks again for listening. I apologize for not thinking to put this in to the first podcast, but, well, I guess I can no longer walk and talk and chew gum at the same time. I got so excited about playing that I just sort of went off the deep end and started playing music, and that's not such a bad end to go off of anyway. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.